the law of the elements, sorry. And he overcame death for other people, and finally for himself, to prove to the world that he was not a victim, and that the people that crucified him were not villains, because he loved them up to the end. His last words were, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And if he hadn't had that spirit of forgiveness and love, he never could have been resurrected from the dead or ascended. But he overcame the whole world's hatred, not a person's hatred, but the whole world's hatred of what he was trying to give them. He proved for us all that we're not victims and that there aren't any villains. And Mary Baker Eddy, who's a close follower of the Master Christian, proved that in her life too, because she seemed to meet with many villains in her life. If you read her life history, you will see the difficulties that she had to overcome in her own life. And yet, in spite of it all, she had a wonderful faith in God, an absolute trust in Him. Her one desire in life, in spite of all her hardships, was to find out what God was really like. And she found out that God is love. And she wanted to share that with the world and give it to the world. She proved time and time again that she was not the victim of ill health, because that seemed to plague her life through. She was not the victim of widowhood when she was a widow and left alone with a little boy. She was not the victim of poverty whenever she couldn't even care for that little boy. She had no money and no home to do it with. She put all of those things out when she began to discover what God was really like. And she did it through reading the Bible and nothing else. The Bible was her only school teacher, and she delved into it and proved very successfully and did an awful lot for women when she proved that not only was she not a victim, but that there weren't any villains. Because a woman who wrote an article like "Love Your Enemies" had been through it all. She knew what she was talking about when she wrote an article like that, but she forgave them. She had learned the power of forgiveness and the spirit of forgiveness in her life. And she bequeathed that to the world, just as the Master bequeathed to the world all that he had to give. Now, Christian scientists throughout the world deeply respect Mary Baker Eddy for what she has given to the world, but we in no wise idolize that woman. She said we are to follow her only in so far as she followed Christ. And that's what we do and what we endeavor to do. But she has a place in history that can't be taken from her either. Now, there's another aspect of villains and victims that I would especially like to talk about today. That's when it's happening in our own church. Now, that's one place there shouldn't be victims or villains. And sadly, it does occur. very, very much. This happened to me many years ago when I was living on Malta, on the little island of Malta. My husband being in the Royal Marines, we lived there for a time. I was a very new student of Christian Science. I'd just become a member of the Mother Church and loved this science so much and this truth and wanted to learn all I could about it. The first reader of the little group that we had in Malta was a very sincere student of Christian Science, and I loved her very dearly, and we used to visit with each other every Thursday. This was the highlight of my week, and I went with her to talk to her about Christian Science. Well, one day I told her about something that I wanted to do, and this woman attacked me so strongly that I couldn't believe that she was the same person. It was something I wanted to do that meant I couldn't be at church on Sunday. And she told me it was my place to be there. Now, I knew that she was wrong. And so I said to her, well, I'm sorry, I have to do something else, and I'm going to do it. Well, she gave me a hard time. It was so hard that I just couldn't believe it was coming from a Christian Scientist, because then I believed that all Christian Scientists were saints. And that I would never, ever learn to be like them, that they were so good. And so I couldn't believe this. It upset me so much that I couldn't go to church for a couple of weeks. And I really tried to pray about the situation. I read that article, Love Your Enemies. I read another one called Taking Offense. And I wrote her a letter and I said, I'm sorry if I've offended you. I'm not sorry for what I did. I know it was right. But if I've offended you and damaged our friendship, I'm really sorry for that. Well, I got an unbelievable letter back from this woman, and all the things that she had said about me were all there in writing. And at first I began to think, I'm going to leave this church, because Christian Scientists must be hypocrites. If she's standing in the desk and reading this wonderful truth that God is love, that she's attacking me like this, I don't want to be any part of that church. And yet I love the church and I love the teaching. Well, one day the five other families from this little group came to visit me. And they said, Myrtle, we want you to know that we support you, that this person is very wrong, and what she's doing and what she's saying is upsetting us a great deal. I showed them the letter that this person had written to me, and they said, could we please have this letter, and we will send it to the Mother Church in Boston and ask that this woman be removed as a reader in our church. Now, I had read in the church manual that branch churches have to work out their own problems. So I said to them, no, I think we have to work it out. And I will work it out, no matter how long it takes me. But I won't go back to church until I've done it. Well, a few nights after that, I couldn't sleep. I hadn't been sleeping very much, and I was crying a lot. And I got up and I began to read the lesson sermon, the Christian Scientists read every week. And in the lesson sermon was a bit in the New Testament where Jesus said to the disciples, whom do men say that I am? And they said, Abraham, or one of the prophets. And he said, "But whom do ye say that I am?" And then Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." So I took that as my message, and I began to think, who do men say that I am? Who does this woman say that I am? She says, "I'm a very poor Christian scientist, that I shouldn't be a Christian scientist at all, and that I'm very wrong." But who does God say that I am? And these lovely thoughts began to come to me, that God saw me as he made me, in his own image and likeness, and he saw me good. He was my father and my mother, and he saw his own creation as perfect and good, and loving and lovable, and honest and upright. Well, I began to feel a wonderful sense of peace, and thought, good, I'll be able to get some sleep. But as I got up to get out of the chair, I suddenly felt as if somebody pushed me right down into it and said, "Just a minute, Myrtle. Who does God say that she is?" And I said, "Well, that's her problem. Let her work that one out. She's the one with all the experience." But the little voice said, "Oh, no, Myrtle, you can't do that. You can't enter the kingdom of heaven alone. Who does God say that she is?" I said, "She's God's perfect child." And the little voice said, "That's no good, Myrtle. That's not good enough. That's not the way you said it for yourself. How did you say it for yourself?" Well, you know, it took me 10 minutes to see it for myself. It took me 2 hours to see it for my friend. But when I saw it, and I prayed until I did, to know that she too was the perfect child of God, the loved of love, and that he saw her without sin, without spot, without blemish, that he never heard her say an angry word or think an angry, unlovely thought, and that only what God knew about her was true. I saw that so clearly that I loved her like I'd never loved her, even when she was my friend. The next night was Wednesday, and I went along to church. I couldn't wait to get there. She was in the desk, and she read a lesson on love, and I felt as if there was a light right round her. At the end of that meeting, she walked right up the aisle to where I was at the back. We embraced in front of the members, and they were all crying. And she said, "Are you coming for lunch tomorrow as usual?" And I said, "Yes." I went. We never even spoke about what happened. We never even thought about it. We continued as if nothing had happened in between. And she and I retained our friendship for 25 precious years. But quite apart from that, the healing that that brought to our little church. That very weekend, a neighbor of mine, her husband was an army officer, and she had 7 sons, 7 boys. And she said to me, "Would you take my 7 children to Sunday school? Just so that I can have a break on Sunday morning." I said, "I'd be delighted to." And another woman who lived beside us said, "Could you take my 2? We had 9 children and a couple of mine as well in that little Sunday school. Soon some of their parents came. Within 5 weeks, we had I don't know how many new people come to our church. And that experience has stood out to me like a beacon light, That's the only way we can heal situations within our church. If we try to heal them any other way, we're like Judas, who wanted Jesus to take up the sword and get stuck into them. That's why he betrayed Jesus. Because Jesus didn't do that, didn't take that path. But Jesus said, that's not the way I teach. Ours is the Church of Christ, Scientist. So it's a healing church. And we want healing in our church, whether it's our branch church or our mother church or any church, even if you go to another church, there's always problems in church where there shouldn't ought to be. Every member of that church is a member of our body and is the precious child of God. And we need to see that. And when we see that, we will see that there aren't any victims, but there aren't any villains either. And if all of us today were just committed to doing that, look what we would be doing for our world. We would know better how to pray when we see awful things on television. We would refuse to accept victims or villains. Then our prayer would be constructive and have power. It would have the authority of God behind it. So my prayer is that everybody here today will make that commitment to be neither victim nor villain. God bless you all. Thank you.